this past Thursday, I had the privilege and the wonderful opportunity to meet with Gadel Perez. Gadel is the preacher at the Hanover Church of Christ. And he met here at my office, and we had a cup of coffee together, and we talked, we prayed, we shared with each other about the congregations, we prayed for each other's congregations, and he was had some things that he was wanting from me that I was helping him with, and he taught me something that was so profound to me, but yet so obvious that I don't know why it's so profound to me. He told me that they needed to get some more chairs. And we had already talked preacher talk, which means attendance. Okay, that's what it means. Sorry. We'd already had that conversation. And I knew that the amount of chairs that they had far exceeded the amount of people that were there. And he went on to explain to me, after I said, help me figure out, Gadel, why do you need 30 more chairs? He said, because God is bringing people to him and through us. And he said, this church building that we have right now and the chairs that we have right now isn't enough to hold all the people that God is bringing. And I go into the auditorium, and he said, I pray over the empty chairs. He said, because God knows the name of the person that's going to be sitting in that chair. And I literally got goosebumps on my cheeks. And he said, it's not that there isn't enough people. It's I haven't gone to meet the people that God has already called. And so I'm praying for the empty chairs, because they are the soul of somebody. Well, you know what I had to do after he left was come over here and start praying over the chairs. We have approximately 135 chairs seated between here and that corner of the fellowship hall, excluding the front row, because very few people have the courage to sit there. So excluding those 14 chairs in the front row, there's about 135 more. And I asked myself the question, God, is there enough chairs? Who is it that you are calling that I haven't, or we haven't met yet, or had the conversation with yet? It isn't a matter of, are there people who need Jesus Christ? The obvious answer is yes. And it isn't a matter of, does God call people unto himself? Biblically, the answer is yes. And the question of, are the fields still white under harvest? And we may say, well, you know, that was Jesus talking 2,000 years ago, and he was talking about the expansion of the church when he was talking to his disciples. Now, we can relegate all that to history. But then I don't know why it was written down for us if it didn't have any meaning to us. But if all of that is true, if God's word is still true, then I needed to start praying for the empty chairs. Because God knows the name of the person that he is called to sit in that chair. It's not a God problem. It's a Jeffrey problem. So I prayed where I sit, and I said, Lord, let a revival of the chairs begin in me. And I just sat there in an empty auditorium. And as I walked around the auditorium, because, not to be mean, we are all, that means you, are creatures of habit, which means you sit generally in either the same chair, row, or at least vicinity, to where I can do an attendance in my head by looking out and saying, okay, this is where so-and-so is going to be sitting. So I also started to be praying over you, because I have a general idea where most of you generally sit. And my prayer became, God, introduce us to the people you're already calling. Because it's not about us. It's about you, God. It's not about a number. It's about a soul that needs to be drawn back to you. Spiritual conversation is not about learning a new program, as Dave mentioned last Sunday. It is about bringing Jesus into the conversations that we're already having. We already talk. That's not the point. We all have conversations. The goal is just simply to bring Jesus into the conversation. Not in a forced manner, not in a way that's trying to downgrade somebody else or their faith or lack thereof or their actions. Just to share the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness of the Spirit of Christ that is already at work. Spiritual conversation is just opening my mouth about what God has already done. It is about taking something that maybe Brent has said in class that just really touched me and take that opportunity to inject it into a conversation I'm already having. Not again manipulating the conversation, but allowing that which is in my heart to just flow out of my mouth. And I told Goodell, I said, I'm going to start praying over the empty chairs. But I said, I also need to start praying for the filled ones. Because we're the ones that are going to be the mouthpiece to talk to those that are going to come fill the empty chairs. What spiritual conversation is about is putting a pebble in a shoe. And that's a metaphor I don't like. I would guess, I'm guessing here, I would guess that something like this that I'm about to share has happened to everybody at some point in time in some manner. But I do remember pretty distinctly a situation. Carrie was out of town. I was over at Cadora State Park, and I decided I would do a little walking and take one of the trails around. I parked on the side, and I was walking on a Thursday. I was walking around Cadora. Somehow, something got into my shoe. I don't know how, But something got into my shoe. And it had worked its way to right under my big toe. Okay? I don't know how it can do this, but it did, whatever the it was, did this. It works its way under my big toe. And I'm, of course, walking this trail over at Cadores. But every time I walk, my toe is hitting this object in my shoe. Now, those of you that know me, one, know I don't walk very much, and two, know that I'm relatively lazy. And so I decided, instead of doing anything about it, I know this is really dumb, I decided I would shake my foot, hoping to move it out of the way. I'm not saying I'm the brightest bulb in the chandelier. And it moved, which is good. Except for it worked its way down to the arch of my foot. And so now as I'm walking and the arch of my foot is hitting the ground, I'm feeling this pebble in my shoe. To the point I'm like, this is really dumb, Jeffrey. You might be fat, but bend down, untie your shoe, take it off, and get that stone out of there. So I found a place to sit or a log to sit on, and I untie my shoe. That's the hardest thing, is bending over and untying my shoe. You know, I should have slip-ons. But anyway, I take my shoe off, and the first thing I do is I look in there, and like, I don't see anything. And I pound the heel of my shoe, and sure enough, there's this tiny, tiny little stone in there. And I'm thinking, you realize you're condemned for all eternity, don't you? And I knocked it onto the ground. And I put my shoe back on, and I continued walking around. I tell you that story because I do believe it's something we all have experienced in some form or fashion. And I don't want you to take this the wrong way. But I want my conversations this year to become a spiritual pebble in the shoe of people I am talking to. And I don't mean I want them hurting or in pain or anything along those lines. What I'm saying is I want it to be something that causes them, forces them over the course of time to either ponder something that I said, think about something that I said, deal with something that I said, or continue the conversation in some form or fashion. That's all I'm trying to do. So I want to just inject Jesus enough into that conversation to cause a person to begin to say, I hadn't thought like that before. I didn't preach to them. I didn't try to convert them. I just wanted Jesus to sit in their life in such a way that they're saying, what about my relationship? What about what Jeffrey just said? That really was a fairly interesting verse that he talked about from his Bible class that Brent taught. Whatever it may be, I just want to begin the conversation. I'm going to give you two biblical examples. The first is found in Acts chapter 17. And in Acts 17, Paul makes his way to Athens. And that starts around verse 16. And he gets to Athens, and the Bible says concerning Paul, while he got to Athens, he says, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. And it's a really interesting word that is used there. You know, Paul's spirit was provoked within him. It is the idea of a sharpness, of an irritant, of an indignation. How's that for a 50-cent word? And something was, there was a pebble in the shoe of Paul. He looks out over this city. He sees all of these idols as he walks around. And it stirs something within him that forces him to respond to that. And so he begins to reason with those who are in the synagogue. But I want to jump down to verse 18. It says, some of the Epicureans and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, what does this babbler wish to say? Others said, he seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities because, here's my point, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. You see, the pebble, if you will, the spiritual pebble in the shoe that he was placing there in the conversations that he was having with both the Jews and now with the Gentiles, these Greek philosophers, Epicureans and Stoics, was Jesus. And specifically, that this divinity, God, Jesus, came in a physical form, died in a physical manner on the cross, was buried in a physical tomb, but rose on the third day, never to die again. And that philosophy, that a deity, that a God would sacrifice himself for those who worship him, blew him away. All Paul did was put a pebble in the shoe. Now, you know the rest of the story, which is great, but they didn't all come to Christ, by the way. But what he was wanting to do is get the conversation started, to have an open door to keep the conversation going. So he talked about that which he already knew, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The second example, let me give you one more, is actually Jesus. And it's after Jesus has fed the 5,000, so we got that. The next day, he's on the other side of the sea. People have already come to him. And to be honest, they're looking for another free meal. That's what they're looking for. And Jesus takes that and begins to have a conversation about the bread of life. He injects this spiritual aspect of the bread which came down from heaven. Now, that's a story that these people were very familiar with as Jewish people. They had grown up hearing about the wandering, hearing about Moses in the wilderness with their ancestors, hearing about the manna that had come down from heaven. And then Jesus pushes it. You want to talk about a little pebble? Jesus, he puts a big old rock in their shoe and he says, I am the bread of life. In fact, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't even have a part with me. Now, that's gross. Sorry. But Jesus, which I don't understand, didn't stop and say, I'm talking about a metaphor. He didn't say, oh, in the future there's going to be something called the Lord's Supper. They're going to have this tiny little piece of bread and this little cup of grape juice and they're going to take it and they're going to call it a feast. He didn't go down any of that road. He talked about himself. He says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, that fellowship, relationship manner that is going on isn't going to be there. I'm going to begin with verse 16. I want you to listen to this or read along, whichever you would like to do. This is John 6. When many of, and here's the phrase, his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. Flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who would not believe him and who it was that would betray him. He said to them, this is why I told you that no one can come to the Father unless it is granted him by the Father. I'm going to stop for just a second. We're going to finish this out. Jesus has this spiritual conversation about himself that provokes them to an action. They are struggling with what he says. He does not even come back and give a really good 30-minute sermon with 3 points and a poem. He doesn't do that, okay? He doesn't walk them through what this means. He lets them sit there and hear this, and he never denies the facts of the matter. This is about a relationship with God through him, Jesus. And they're thinking, I don't know. Verse 66. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. You know, I want to have lots of spiritual conversations this year. I want to learn. I want to just remember that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and therefore every good and wonderful gift that I have been given is coming from heaven above. And I just want to be able to bring the goodness of God into a conversation that so often is negative. So often is about hardship, difficulties, pain, suffering. And I'm not putting any of those things down. I just want to share the good that comes with Jesus. But some, here in verse 66, some turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Jesus actually puts a pebble in their shoe. And he says, you've heard the whole thing. How does it feel to be walking around listening to me talk about my flesh and my blood? Do you think the 12 understood all that Jesus was saying, that only he can sustain them, that only he can bring them life, that only he can truly give them all that they need? I'm not sure they had the fullness of understanding, but I love what Peter says. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed that you have come to know. And we believe and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter's response is not, oh yeah, God, Jesus, I get this whole eat your flesh, drink your blood stuff. His response is, I don't actually have any other option but you. You're my only option. So whatever you say has to be right. Because we know that you have come from God. So while I may not understand, I'll accept. The pebble in the shoe that Jesus placed there may have drove some away, at least for a period of time, but it caused others to sit down, deal with it, and to be able to walk a little bit better afterwards. Jesus was constantly his own pebble in other people's shoes. So many of the healings that we read that Jesus does are done on what day of the week? The Sabbath. Now let's just be real for a moment. We're in Palestine. We're at the ministry of Jesus. We're at a height of religious teaching by Pharisees and other teachers of the law. And they have created the Sabbath so differently than God ever did. They have made it into something. And Jesus does these healings on the Sabbath, I think for one reason. Not because he couldn't have healed them on Friday or Monday or Sunday, because he knew they needed to start seeing things differently. And the only way to get their attention was to become the spiritual irritant. Not in a mean way, but it was a way that kept drawing them back. Many of the things Jesus would say was a pebble in their shoe. Now, if that's what he could do himself, if Paul could take the life of Jesus, interject it into a foreign city that he had never been in before, and have conversation with people that say, I want to know more about this God. Having a spiritual conversation just simply ought to be my norm and not something that I have to turn around and learn and do. But I know me. I'm going to have to be mindful and take every opportunity that is presented to me as a way to bring out Christ. When I originally began to plan this sermon weeks ago, I had a whole different approach that I was going to go and a passage that I was going to use. And the passage, I believe, is in the bulletin today. And it's taken from 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Here's the charge. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Here's the how. With complete patience and teaching. For the time will come when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Paul tells Timothy, which is recorded for us, you're going to have to take the message of God, the word of God. And you need to, Timothy, and I would say us, inject Christ in the truth of Jesus, no matter what the circumstance. Boy, I've got to get the right word. Circumstances. There's the right word I'm looking for. Circumstances. Yeah, circumcision is a little different than circumstance. Maybe very different. Sorry about all that. Now I'm confused. Coming back. Preach the word in the season, out of season. It doesn't make a difference at the time. It doesn't. He doesn't say when it's convenient, when you want to, when you feel like it, if it makes everybody happy. He doesn't do any of that. He says you need to be taking Jesus, the Word, and interjecting that into life. And as you do, that Word, Jesus, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Bringing Jesus affects conversation, relationship. It affects everything. The how-to is with complete patience and teaching. Which means I'm not in control. And that's really difficult for me. Because I want to control everything around me. I know you guys don't. I do. Okay. I want all my ducks in a perfect row. Okay? But when I start injecting Jesus into the conversation, and because of what God's Word gives to us, there are times it is reprove or rebuke. There's times it is exhortation. But when I do this with patience and teaching, it's a pebble in the shoe. But the truth of the matter, the truth of the matter is some don't want to hear truth. They just don't. They want their own sense of truth. So what they will do is they will take a truth. God is love. Jesus offers grace. They will take a truth and then they will twist it and make it into something that is no longer truth, but it now makes them feel bad. So now I can go to church, but I don't have to hear truth. I can live how I want and feel okay because I have created for myself a religion. Paul says to Timothy, there's some that are going to do that. They're going to turn away from the truth. He didn't say, so just stop speaking it. It's not what he said. In fact, verse 5 says, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. My point is, I need to speak Jesus. And I need to speak love and joy and peace, but I don't control somebody else's actions. A pebble in a shoe. Maybe it's a strange metaphor. But what I am called by God to do is open my mouth. In honesty, what I find myself doing is waiting for someone else to open their mouth, and then I join the conversation. God's pushing me this year. Because there's somebody that should be sitting in that chair right there. There is a soul that needs Jesus Christ. And God knows the name of the person that should be sitting in those empty chairs. And the only way they're going to hear it is when I open my mouth and interject Jesus into the conversation. I need to follow the footsteps of Jesus where'er they go, wherever they go. And if we can help you to walk in the pathway of Jesus, then won't you come as we stand and as we sing?